Don't take it so seriously. Lighten up. Trust the mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way. Lighten up.
Welcome to Lighten Up with Bonnie Wirth on Empower Radio, an inspirational hour of conversation and interviews to help you shift perspective and create balance between being spiritual and human. Now here's your host, Bonnie Wirth, on Empower Radio.
Hello, sweet friends. How are you doing today? Oh my gosh, I'll tell you that since the calendar flipped into March, there certainly has been a completely different energy at play with us. And I know for myself, it's almost as if I have been swooped up into a whole different aspect of in terms of life, in terms of priorities, in really taking a look at, you know, how do I want to serve? How do I want to contribute? And it's almost at the place where the universe never really even gave me so much of a choice. It was like, boom, here you go, show up, things are happening, you know, everything's falling into place, pieces are coming together. And it has been this process this whole last week of really needing to stop and catch my breath and focus on what really matters. And you know what really matters, you know, compassion for the human condition, what really matters, you know, being able to pull out of the depths and darkness of life to really know that there is more, you know, there is hope, there is help, and being an advocate, so to speak, for that. So it's been really interesting because, you know, not only do I have the backbone of my whole life experience in terms of the darkness of what life can be, but it really put it into a place for me this past little while where I got to bring light to that darkness. And so it really helps me to see purpose even bigger than what I had anticipated, even for my own life. And as I said, it really has caught me into this cycle of energy. It's like, it's just swooping us all up. The vibes are really powerful. They're really positive. You might be finding you've got a little bit of aches and pains and in your body, stiffness, soreness, all a part of it. There's a lot of what we could call almost like fire energy that's at play that needs to move through us and has really pushing us into action. I know spirit has really, really been pushy for me, showing up big time. You know, even last week I did an amazing event here in my hometown called Connections and did a group reading for all those in attendance, you know, and have other ones that are falling into place here as well. And it's like all of the heavens are pushing us into action, step on course, step on purpose, get moving. And as I said, it's almost been where I haven't been able to even sometimes catch my breath because it's been really from one pot on the stove to another. And so I imagine you're probably feeling this too. You know, when I talk about this soreness and tightness in your body, this call for movement, and it can be physical movement, but it's also a sign from the heavens of actually moving forward on purpose. So when you can take some of those steps, whether they be the physical steps in moving or whether it's taking action in terms of how are you going to serve and what is your contribution going to be to the world, that also releases, you know, from the body as well. So it's a really powerful time for us little humans. It truly is. And it's so beautiful as it's unfolding. But, you know, on the flip side, we can get caught into what the topic is today, that spiritual trap, that ego-based trap, where we get into a place of doing everything in terms of the practices, the learning, the theologies, taking classes, courses, all of these things where we get into this place of being of service, where then our ego, even though it's not in the low capacity that, you know, it might have been within the old self, that it's in a place now where it still likes to show up a little bit, and it shows up at a higher level inside of us, but it still can create a little bit of a trap for us that we can get caught in as we become in service to others. So that's really what I want to talk about, because so much is changing, so much is shifting and playing up for everyone. And I want to make sure that, you know, all the checks and balances are in place for my life. And I want to help to make sure that they're all in place for your life too. I mean, it really is important for us to be bringing this light and bringing our purpose forward. I mean, it truly is what this year one is all about, these foundations for all of humanity over this next 9-year cycle. So we take a look at that, but this is this whole part of us. You know, we've developed as human beings, that love-hate relationship with our ego. I've done lots of previous shows where I've talked about that as well. But the ego really is that necessary part of us that keeps us human. And the ego is also really important part of our role, or the role in spirituality as well. In the positive, it gives us a real distinct personal identity, and it actually helps us to fulfill our purpose, and it allows us to share our gifts, you know, those things that sit deep inside of us, those urgings of the soul. It allows us to bring it forward into the world and get things, you know, get things happening. It's one of the ways the ego helps us to work through karma. It's a beautiful aspect of who we are as humans when we are using it for that greater good. But the other part of it, it's got this negative side of things, and where it can fool us. It can fool us because we can be over-identified with our bodies, with our thoughts, our emotions. We can, you know, that's where attachment starts to play out. It starts to trick us into believing that, you know, maybe that there is separation, and not separation so much from the higher power or the universe or anything like that, but seeing ourselves as separate from other human beings who maybe aren't as evolved or as forward on their journey. Maybe they're not quote unquote awake yet. And so we begin to get into this place where we see ourselves as being separate or better than, and this is the trap that begins to play out. You know, it's over time, you know, it really is this whole cycle, this whole completing cycle that is ultimately bringing us back to this place of oneness. And so even as spiritual practices and as spiritual beings, you know, we have all those teachings that we are, you know, we are the soul inside of the body. We are, you know, we are spiritual beings here for the human experience, you know, all of those things. We have that higher knowing already, but how it plays out can still be an aspect of helping us to actually realize what oneness really is, the purest form, I guess, that the highest potency, you could say, of what that oneness energy represents. And so I've seen this happen. You know, this show was really, really inspired by work that I was doing with a client a few weeks ago. She was really finding herself, you know, in the midst of everything she was dealing with, what she was healing through, what she was growing in awareness of, you know, some of the choices that she began making for her life. And she really began to find herself in a completely different place energetically, and wasn't really fitting in to her circle anymore. And, you know, it's interesting what happens. We begin to feel vibes. I mean, really, it's our vibe that comes forward before we even say hello to anybody, right? That energy is already working ahead of us. And so the vibe was off now with the group. Something just wasn't fitting right, feeling right for her. And in that, you know, this is where the gossip really started in the circle of friends. You know, things that she was doing differently. She was acting differently. Was seeing a different belief, had a different belief system, was looking at things from a different perspective. And so there were those in her circle that began to judge her for it. They began to, you know, it's like, oh, she thinks she's better than us, or, you know, and she began to feel as if, again, that separation, suddenly she wasn't a part of the whole anymore. And she really struggled with this. Then, you know, so that was really where the show became inspired from, and helping her to work through and really understanding not only the spiritual trap, this ego trap that comes up, but how to navigate it, how to find her way through, but also to then be able to acknowledge those, you know, that were maybe caught in the trap in a way that was compassionate instead of judgmental, you know, kind of doing the opposite of what was being shown to her. This came about, though, this last week when I was doing my event here locally, one of the ladies in attendance, as her uncle had come through for her, began talking about relationships and talking about the difficulty of friendship. And here she was involved in a spiritual community, you know, doing book clubs and doing all of these great things to help her to evolve and understand and to be a part of like-minded people, but really was finding herself feeling separated, ostracized, pushed out of the group, not included anymore. And she was really struggling because she was not certain as to why all of a sudden, you know, what did I do? How is it that I'm different and this isn't working anymore? I thought I finally found my people, and I feel like I'm being stabbed in the back. you know, here too, caught in the spiritual trap, the people, you know, within the circle in that way. And I'm not saying it in judgment, it's complete awareness. And especially because of what her uncle actually showed me last week, as well as the guidance that came through for her, was the fact that she had indeed outgrown this group. And it's not, that's not anything that's, you know, right or wrong or anything. It was a matter because she had awakened or evolved beyond where the group maybe was playing in the world. And so to know that, you know, of course we know that happens on the spiritual journey, friends who we were connected with, you know, we evolve and grow and friendships change. And this was definitely what was happening for her. But here too, he guided her to really step out of this place of one, judging herself so harshly. Isn't that what we do immediately when things start to change vibrationally around us? We immediately go into the wrongness of who we are, that we must have done something wrong, or, you know, we could be better, or we should have, you know, here we go into all of that other energy. And so here for her as well, as this guidance was coming through, was a matter of the fact of really releasing herself from judgment, being in a place of being to observe people for where they are in their journey. And again, this aspect of no right or wrong, but seeing herself as the light and recognizing them as the light, and that they were just indifferent. It's almost like her uncle, I'm just trying to recall everything from him, but he literally had said, it's almost like her batteries in her flashlight were newer and they had more of a charge than what theirs were, you know? So it was just a little bit dimming in light difference. Their flashlights just didn't have the same charge. And to know that that's okay, and really teaching her how to get out of judgment of that, to be in this place of allowing and of acceptance, which was huge for her, because it can be, you know, we get into a place where we've been in really dark times, we've been really hurt and wounded, we've done all this work to pull ourselves out of where we are, and now we get into another place, and now that we know all the theology, and now we know, have all this wisdom, we've had all this healing, we have all these modalities to fall back on, we have all this stuff that we're so equipped now. But what happens even in all of that, we can still fall into the trap of ego. It's just in a higher degree, but it's still there. And it's what's keeping us human so that we can realize ultimately what that pure essential aspect of oneness really is. So it plays out for all of us. I know that I've been here. I know that, you know, there have been times, you know, in the old self days where I was completely, you know, looking over my shoulder, what other people were doing, what I was doing, what they were doing differently, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're choosing that for themselves. Don't they know better? We've taken courses together, classes together. And, you know, it was just, I caught myself. I was getting caught in the trap where suddenly I began to look at this aspect of what they were doing. And because it was different than me, that created wrongness around it. That's what I'm talking about, the spiritual ego trap, where we're still, you know, looking to, looking at things in a less than, greater, other people being less than, us being greater than kind of place. And I'm the first to admit that I played in the world a little bit there too. I'm glad to say that that's not where I play in the world anymore. I've evolved, you know, beyond that the last several years, but it definitely is something I recognize in terms of my own journey. So as our world evolves, you know, spiritually, we're really waking up. We're getting out of this darker place in our life. We're beginning to step slowly into purpose, where we're beginning to identify ourselves really as the state of oneness. And so we do things. We practice yoga, we practice meditation and prayer, we begin studying. We have these newfound awarenesses, and all of that can be really, really exciting. We get inspired by the things that we're learning. And at this stage of development, we are in a place where we're intellectually understanding, you know, this whole aspect of who we are as spiritual beings. There is a sense of pride here, but there's also a part of it that is self-centeredness. It's almost like we get caught in a little bit of a death trap of for our soul, because we haven't really learned all of our lessons yet. And what it is that, you know, we can learn to understand. Lessons aren't something, you know, there's many different philosophies behind lessons on a spiritual journey, learning lessons. You know, there's beliefs that we don't need to learn lessons, that that's just a belief. But the truth of it is our soul is here to learn. It is here to resolve karma. It is here to grow in consciousness. And we wouldn't have incarnated, you know, had there not been some greater purpose for us even in being here. So these lessons, so to speak, are not necessarily the hardcore dark lessons. It can just be lessons in learning how to love, lessons to love more, you know, lessons to what kindness is. You know, we can learn all kinds of in these lessons in all kinds of ways. And so as we are moving forward on a spiritual journey, when we become evolved, when we become awakened, we can actually reach a point where we can believe that we no longer have anything that any lessons to learn. And, you know, you've heard me say it before, you know, we're not broken. There's nothing we need to fix. There is no consciousness that we need to shift, that everything is happening right on course. We're right where we need to be. And our soul is taking us through that without us even really needing to work at anymore. It really is what these new divine energies are all about. The other part of that, though, is we can get into this place where we think, okay, well, if that's happening, there's no learning along the way. But there is. There are lessons to be learned through every aspect of it. And it doesn't mean we don't have, you know, that we, if we're wounded, we don't need to, you know, work with our wound. Because we do. We still need to be in that place. But this ego trap can lead us to believe that there's no lesson here. You know, we can, it's kind of a slippery slope, so to speak, you know, because we know all this stuff, but if we're not applying it every single day into every aspect of our life, we can become that in that egocentric, spiritual person, that egocentric where the beliefs are there. It's almost like it deprives us of the opportunity to look deeper into ourselves. It deprives us of the opportunity to recognize even greater purpose. Because we feel in some ways from this place as if we've arrived. But the truth is, we never get it done. You know, we don't. And I'll tell you, if you reach a place where you feel you have nothing else to learn, you have nothing else to understand, that you've got it all now, and what you tell you, that's just a trap. That's just the ego keeping you there in limitation, because there is something always more to learn. There's always something more to evolve in. There's always new growth that begins to rise. When we can allow ourselves to really go from this place of hiding behind judgment or hiding behind religious dogma or this false sense of almost being superior in some way. You know, when we can allow ourselves just to be still that humble student of the universe, that humble, compassionate human, where we can begin to understand that we're all just learning, we're all evolving, we're all here for the same purpose and different degrees and in different ways that we find our way through our lessons. And it really becomes this place of completely honoring. You know, we look at the word, you know, namaste. Namaste being, you know, the spirit in me honors the spirit in you. Or, you know, and really from that humble place to be able to bow deeply to each other. That really is spiritual maturity, to be able to bow deeply no matter where someone is on their journey. Not from a place of superiority. Oh my gosh, you know, I said that earlier, I can't believe she's choosing to do that, and I can't believe they should know better than that, you know, already. Can't believe she's taking that course. Why would she do that? You know, I've heard it all, I've seen it all. So it becomes really, you know, it's a common place, and it's not, again, if you find that you're there, I don't want you to get into the wrongness. You see how what ego can do. Oh, I've been a bad person, and I can't believe I haven't been spiritual enough. You know, there's all kinds of things that begin to play up. I want you to know you're right on course. This is exactly it, because this is another part of the lesson of the ever-evolving soul. We never get it done, right? There's always something to evolve from. There's always something to awaken. This is the other part of it too. How many people out there do you know who said, I'm awake now? Well, good for you, but I want to tell you, you are still awakening. There's still so much to understand that we never get it done. That just when we think we get it, just when we think we've intellectually and theoretically understand every aspect of how this all works in the universe, there's still more to learn. This universe is so immense in growth and opportunity for the evolution of us when we can allow ourselves to not get caught in thinking we understand it all. I work with many, many people. It reminds me of a client I worked with, you know, several years ago, where coming for mentoring and talking is like everything I was sharing, she already knew it. Oh, I know that already. But she was missing the deeper lessons in what was being asked of her, the deeper understanding so that she could grow and evolve. She was in a place where she said, I'm awake already. You know, I've got this. And I was, you know, kudos, good for you. But the truth is that's a trap. That's a place where our ego comes in and keeps us in limitation. It holds us back from really realizing the exponential potential that we have as a soul. The growth factor that really can play out when we allow ourselves, as I said earlier, to be that ever-present student of the universe. When we get it all done, when we reach that point where we have everything checked off the list, we have got all of the lessons completed, where everything is tickety-boo, guess what? Chances are we've probably crossed over. We're on the other side, right? We've completed it. So know that until you pass through those pearly gates, you ain't got it done. You don't know everything. When I look at my own journey, and that's really what I can base this on, you know, I mean, the universe is such a great teacher because it puts us into not only personal experiences, but brings forward other people who we can help, you know, to understand and grow and evolve through things as well. But really, when we can take a look at the fact that we're all just trying to get this right, we're all just doing the best that we can with what we have, with what we're equipped with what our soul is allowing us to remember at this point in our life. And when we can understand that not only is this happening for me, but it's happening for every single person around me, every single person in a spiritual community. And the more that we can separate ourselves, not from each other, but from this spiritual trap that the ego likes to keep us in, that we actually thrive. We are in flow in our life. We're beginning to meet things with greater consciousness, greater awareness to what's playing out, and finding that deeper understanding of what the universe is actually asking of us. So separation is not pushing away the people who are not on the same spiritual journey as you, or judging or condemning them for what they're doing or not doing. It is about evolving beyond that to get to a place where to allow for the graciousness of freedom of the journey of that soul, and to bow humbly and to bow deeply to what they're going through based on the human conditions that are playing out as a part of awakening to even more for their life. So no matter where you are on the journey, it becomes important to know that ego part of us is ever present, and it's always, always acting up just a little bit to help us to realize what is the purest, most radiant aspect of who we are as souls, as human beings, you know, that highest of self wanting to be revealed. So I'm going to talk more, of course, imagine that. I am going to talk more after the commercial break about some of the ways in which we can take a look at some of the, I want to say, potholes, you know, the traps that come up, and just how you can maybe take away now some ways to begin to navigate or to find your way through from this, from the ego, not stripping away the ego, but finding a way through to be able to work with the ego for even greater purpose. We'll be right back.
disaster struck right now, what would you and your family do first? Would you stay where you are or leave? What if you and your family were separated? Would your kids know what to do? How would you get in touch with them if your cell phone isn't working or the subways aren't running? Don't wait until a disaster strikes to figure it out. It's your responsibility to make a plan for you and your family ahead of time. To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. In this online tool, you'll be faced with real-life challenges forcing you to make quick decisions at every turn to teach you the importance of being prepared for a disaster. Without a plan, it's like you're putting your family in a disaster. Visit nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. A public service announcement brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with. All day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Don't take it so seriously. Lighten up. Trust the mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way. Lighten up.
Now back to Lighten Up with Bonnie Work on Empower Radio.
So this ego trap, this, you know, really, and I guess it's more of the spiritual ego trap, I mean, is what I'm talking about today. This place that we can find ourselves, you know, as we evolve and grow and get on, and we're on track in our journey, and we get to this place where we're like, oh, okay, so I'm understanding. So nothing is real. This is just, there's no reality. Everything's just an illusion. There's no such thing as truth. Everything is true. You know, we get into this place and, you know, this other part, and you've heard me say it too. There's no such thing as right or wrong, good or bad, all of that. But when it comes right down to it, we're missing the biggest lesson of it all. And the biggest lesson is about all of this human stuff that's playing out. So even though we can look at there's no reality, that everything is just illusion, or we've heard that this is all just a dream. The Course in Miracles, you know, teaches that we are not our bodies. And this is great. If you've ever studied the Course in Miracles and you understand, you know, some of the philosophies and things behind it. If you haven't, I really encourage you to take that step and really get involved with the Course. It really is profoundly, you know, evolving and life changing. But it indicates in there that we are not our bodies. And so it is true, you know, when we recognize that we are the spiritual person, the spiritual being inside of this human body, we become less attached to the body and less judgmental of the body and can begin to honor our body. But what can happen when we allow the spiritual ego, and in there it talks about how the story of, you know, where there are people that really took this almost too far, where they got in this spiritual ego trap, where they got in where I am not my body. So they just ate whatever they want. There was no honoring of the body. There was no nutritional component. And they just, you know, obesity took place because they were in this place of I am not my body. That really is what I'm referring to. This, it's this trap that we can find ourselves where we take some of these spiritual principles way too extreme in a place of superiority or this place of I want to say unawareness, even though we believe we're very aware, and we kind of get it wrong. We're missing the lesson. You know, the greater lesson is, yes, we are not our bodies, but the body must be honored, respected, nurtured, and cared for, right? It's the temple of our soul. And so it can be this place of knowing that no matter how much we memorize, no matter how much we believe we know, there's always a deeper something that is being asked to be realized. So a spiritual path, you know, this is part of it too, when we talk about the different modalities and the things that are out there, sometimes we can over-intellectualize spirituality. We get so busy in the mental energy because we believe that this is helpful. There might be things we need to memorize, whether it be certain processes in order to be the healer and the helper. It might even be memorizing inspirational quotes or perhaps some text or some sacred information, you know, as I just referred to, you know, the Course in Miracles, so to speak. We can begin to rely on our intellectual understanding of the esoteric concepts of spirituality, but actually that creates a block for us to be able to actually experience a deeper truth of it. We get so caught up in that mental energy. I need to memorize. I need to say it this way. I need to stand on one foot and spin in a circle in order for this to happen. I, you know, have to get the words right. You know, who said what? And I know for myself, I got really tied up on that, especially being a speaker, not only speaking in terms of what it is that I want to be able to offer in terms of my message, but looking at other, you know, whose quotes could I use? What stories can I bring into play here? Where I got so caught up in the mental energy that what happened is it can cause me to actually stumble or falter when I'm on stage because I'm not allowing myself to experience the deeper aspect of what the message is, you know, spirit working through me. The essence really of true faith, that devotion that we find really is not about the scope of anything that has to do with logic. But yet here we are, our little egos keeping us so busy in our head where our mental energy kind of fogs us or creates a fog and we can't tell the difference between what we know and what we're walking. So that's where, you know, I've said over the years too, there definitely is a difference between people who are talking the talk and people who are walking it. Because when you're walking it, you're living it every single day. When you're living and breathing your spirituality, you are in a place where you are in the experience of deeper truth. And deeper truth that is true for you, not necessarily someone else's truth. But that's ultimately what it's about. It's about being in our own experience of this life. And so we can talk all we want. We can memorize as many quotes and as many theories and have that whole intellect. But if we're not walking our spirituality every day, we're missing a part of the greater lesson. There also is, you know, some fundamentalist thinking out there as well, where the ego gets to be right. And if we allow the ego to be right, we stop growing spiritually. Well, that's not the truth either. There's no real black and white. It's not, you know, part of who we are is about finding and realizing our own truth, whether it be truth about religion, truth about spiritual beliefs, truth about, you know, what we understand the greater consciousness of to be or that higher power. It's when we're allowing ourselves to be in inward in our discovery. And again, not having those fundamental thinking that we've got to get it right, or, you know, we've got it, you know, then, and when we say, oh, I've got it, oh, I understand, that's the moment that really it's ego, because here again, needing to intellectualize it, needing to make black or white out of it. It's one of the ways, as I said, that our ego can stop us from growing. So, you know, I'm trying to remember which leader it is. It might be Leo. I can't remember. I can just remember the saying. See, here's my intellect here wanting to bring that quote into play. But, you know, there's a saying that says, he who knows does not speak. He who speaks does not know. And it's true, when you can be in that place of not knowing, that's ultimately where you will go deeper in your spiritual learning. That's where you will get the greater experiences, the growth in consciousness that plays out. As soon as we believe we know something, we completely stop ourselves. Like my client who, I know that already. She began bringing in, you know, some of those beliefs that were formed and not in that place of allowing there to be another perspective or greater understanding of what was being asked of her. So that we can get caught into there. You know, the next one here that comes up, this is a big one because I see it play out all the time. You know, this place of judgment, as human beings, we're so good at judging others, so good. Whether we're judging ourselves, we judge ourselves whether we're happy, we judge ourselves whether we're sad, we judge ourselves on physical appearance, we judge each other on how spiritually advanced everybody is. You know, there may be, oh, that person's not as spiritually advanced as I am, or that person has way more knowledge than I do. You know, there's judgment there too, even when we look to leaders or we look to the people who have come before us. Or there's this other concept, the spiritually advanced thing, and I hear this all the time too. You know, who's been chosen? Oh, I've been chosen. Well, we've all been chosen. We wouldn't be here as human beings embodying the bodies we have if we weren't already chosen. Everyone is chosen. Nobody's more special than anybody else, you know. But here again, that spiritual ego trap where we fall into, I can't believe I was chosen, you know, that God chose me for this or whatever it is. We are all chosen. And this is the beauty, you know, from when we look at you know, other people who maybe are just starting out on their journey. We're like, oh, that, well, they just started. They're only just discovering, you know, their truth about angels, or they're only starting to experience spirit. So, you know, we don't really want to hang out with them because they just kind of don't have it where we do yet. We want to be with like-minded people. And sometimes the like-minded people may be not as advanced on their journey. In fact, I love hanging out with the newbies because their energy and enthusiasm for learning and discovery is so infectious. It helps me to remain in this place of going, wow, in amazement and wonderment of what is unfolding even to me and to them. And so there, as I talked about separation, you know, how we separate out from each other, we can do that in our spiritual practices without maybe even realizing sometimes. And, you know, one of the things when we look at our spiritual beliefs is really about, you know, do we judge ourselves? Do we look down upon other people because they're less spiritual? Because if you find or catch yourself doing this, it can just be that there's a sense of uncertainty within your own faith or some doubt about the things that maybe you've been doing or practicing. That's all. And it really is. If you're caught in judgment of anybody else, of not being spiritual enough or doing something different that you don't agree to, it can be that you're hiding something deeper. It can be that the universe is asking you to, you know, really go beyond into a new thought pattern, a new perspective, that there could be something being asked of you to grow or to evolve. And so it becomes, you know, if it deserves your attention, then there's something being asked of you. If somebody is poking at you because they're doing something different and you don't quite believe in it, what's being asked of you. Ultimately, it's helping you to find what is true for you. What is your truth? So we can get, you know, as I said, sometimes looking at other people in this place of judging them, of not being far enough along our path to even for us to hang out with or be friends with. And I don't see it that way. As I said, I look at the newbies, so to speak, the ones that are just coming out, that their excitement and their enthusiasm is something I want to hang out with. You know, it keeps me enthusiastic about my journey. Okay, here's another one that we see play out all the time. Oh my gosh. this you might have these people in your own life. These people who are like excessively positive. Now, I'm not saying positivity. I am one of the most positive people. I know I'm probably that person for you. I could be for anybody tuning in, but I am. I'm a very positive, upbeat person. I really do see the good in everything in life and the good in other people, and sometimes to fault. However, you know, there are other people that are out there that are really working so hard at being positive that it's almost as if they're using this positivity as if everything is so epic in life. You know, everyday experiences can be less than stellar. Let's face it, we're human and sometimes life sucks. Sometimes, no matter how spiritual we are or how evolved in consciousness or whatever, you know, we have bad days. And so pretending that we're not having a bad day or we're not feeling sad is such a disservice to us. This false sense of positivity that, you know, really is almost as if there's some form of, I don't know, vanity or something, because in that place, we can be more concerned about other people thinking about us as being positive than us really feeling positive. And we need to be more concerned about us feeling positive than the opinions of what other people might have. Because even the most spiritual of people have bad days. And it really takes courage to be honest with your emotions. You know, that's it. You know me, you hear me talk week after week about really honoring our emotions, really allowing ourselves to feel and to have that that humanness in life. Because that is a key ingredient for freedom of our soul. When we can allow ourselves and indulge in the human emotion, the things that play up without having to pretend to be positive. And it doesn't mean that you're any less positive because you allow your emotions to flow. It just is, again, it comes back to that spiritual maturity, that place where to acknowledge and to honor and to have the courage about the emotions that are coming up. You know, I am the first person when I look at, you know, I live and breathe my spiritual practices every single day. And there are some days that are harder than others. And I'm the first person to be very honestly say that. I think that to say anything other than that, it almost gives false hope or a pretense of what it means to be spiritual. There's some, again, we get caught in some of those dogmatic beliefs that begin to play out. So, you know, it's like, get real, get honest, and know that we can, everyday experiences are not always epic. They're not. All right. What else do I have to say? I've got lots. I always have lots to say. Sometimes we can get caught in the spiritual trap when we believe that we're the only one who can help somebody. I see this play out in business, you know, where nobody makes any referrals to anybody, you know, and I make referrals all the time with my busyness of my calendar and what's available in working with me. You know, I have people contact me for certain things and I'm, again, you know, I have no problems making referrals because I believe that in some way I'm just an avenue or a path that someone took to ultimately find the help that they're looking for. So, you know, here too, to know that we're not the only ones out there, that there are, we're not, it's not only up to us to save the world, you know, or save other people from bad experiences. you know, this past week, I was caught up in the middle of helping a family member of mine who was really going through a very, very dark time in his life. And even at that, I can't protect him from his bad experiences. You know, to be there to humbly sit and witness to what he was going through, and to see his determination in choosing life over death, and just every, and what that all was. This place of, I can't protect him from those bad experiences. And sometimes we can get caught in the spiritual trap in believing we're the only ones who can help. And I most certainly knew that I wasn't the only one to be able to help him. I mean, you know, calling in all kinds of people to join that team of support for him. Because it's not only up to us. And I can see and have seen and witnessed that there are many people who become very overwhelmed by the work that they're doing. They're exhausted, or they're not able to create balance even in their businesses, because everybody that comes to them as a client, they believe that they're the only ones who can help them. So I really want to recommend that, you know, you look at not just making the assumption that you're the only one who knows how, or you're the only one who's been chosen, but to know that there are many people out there. You might just be the path in which somebody gets the help, but it doesn't mean that you're any less of a contribution. And again, if that comes up, you know, that's a part of what I'm speaking about today. You know, it's important for us to be of service to others, absolutely. And as human beings, we're not omnipresent. We have this presence that runs through us, this life force energy that breathes us, but we're not the only one. There's many of us who make up the one. And so when we can look at and really surrendering to that, it becomes easier for us to accept that there's a master plan unfolding, that there are things that happen beyond our control and sometimes even our understanding, and that we can get in this place of not of what would be a form of spiritual arrogance and thinking we're the only ones who can help, and, you know, why people are choosing to go to somebody else instead of work with me. but we can, there, it can play out for us because there's that ego again. But it's taking a look at, through me, I can serve others, or others will be served. Through me, others will be served, which means not just me, but through me, that I might be an avenue and I might be a pathway for someone to get the help that they need. So it becomes, you know, it takes some of the pressure off too. That pressure of, you know, I remember this, I remember sitting down in consult or conference with a coworker of mine several years ago, and I was emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. And I said to her, I'm so tired of having to save the world. You know, like as if I was this superpower, this superwoman that was called out and tasked with having to do it all. And, you know, for me at that time, I was caught in that spiritual trap. It's not just up to me. It's many of us pulling together, helping, supporting, loving, referring, encouraging. That really is, again, spiritual maturity, to be able to recognize how it is we can help, and then recognize perhaps some of the ways that there are others to be better, you know, served. Someone can be better served by others. So it's easy to fall into the trap. It really is. And here again, I don't know of anybody, truly, other than maybe some of the real saints, you know, when we look at Buddha or, you know, Jesus and what in the teachings and things that played out, that, you know, I would imagine, you know, in their humanness, that their spiritual ego played at them sometimes too. I can't imagine it, but I would think that it was there too. But we can get caught in a trap very easily. You know, what does it take to make sure we don't? Humility. That humble, that bowing deeply, that recognizing that we are being positive contributions to the lives of others, but also in the fact of knowing that there are many others that are doing phenomenal work out there. I like to look at all of my clients and the people that I am helping, that they are actually in service to me. that as much as, you know, we look at being in of service to other people through the work that we're doing, my clients are in service of me, that they're here to help me grow and evolve in the work that I'm doing. They're helping to bring greater awareness and understanding of the human condition, that in some way they're being brought forward to me so that I can evolve and grow right along with them. I don't have all the answers, but through our interaction that I get greater awareness, I get greater learning, I uncover some of my very lessons. It's beautiful how it all orchestrates. The other part of you know, making sure we don't get caught in this ego trap, it comes down to compassion. Compassion, seeing other people, no matter where they are, from this place of compassion for what they're going through. Several years ago, I had a conversation with someone who is another medium who indicated to me that she never, ever says to her clients that she's sorry for their loss, because she knows the other side of things and she knows what's really playing out, and that, you know, those souls are, you know, so free now that they're on the other side that she couldn't apologize to somebody for their loss. And I never got that. I've never understood that. I understand it. That's how she sees and views and her perspective on things. But for me, the state of compassion for the pain that they're going through, the fact that this was somebody very physical who they loved and was an important part of their life. Compassion for somebody who is suffering. You know, I've heard it said time and time again, well, they can choose better. They don't, you know, they can make different choices. They don't have to. Well, that's true. They can. But sometimes it's just about having compassion for the fact that they're not able to make that choice right now. Not yet. That whatever they're going through and enduring is about a lesson that is unfolding to them. And ultimately, I think the biggest thing for all of us on this spiritual journey is about learning to have patience. How many of you are really good at being patient? That's a big one, right? Because it really does help. Patience helps us to continue on this onward schooling that the universe has us in. Patience to know that we are going to understand in time, that we're going to be brought forward to the teachers, the mentors. You know, we don't need to strive or accomplish or achieve things. We're not doing it solely on our own. And no matter how long it might feel that it's taking, and even though there's times when, oh my gosh, I've seen it play out in my own life where I'm getting frustrated at the universe because things are not happening when I want them to happen. Patience. That is a lesson we're being asked to learn. You know, how do we find greater patience? You know, well, sometimes for me, it's about taking a few breaths. So it is to know that there is no destination here. We don't get it all done. We're not supposed to get it all done. We never arrive and become fully awake. That this is ever evolving. But it's like be ultimately assured that when we stay on path, when we stay committed to our spiritual practices, when we can allow ourselves to have humility, compassion, and patience, not only for ourselves on our journey, but for other people, that ultimately we will have liberation. We will discover freedom to be who we are in the world. Being who we are in the world is about allowing for freedom for other people to be who they are in the world, no matter where they are on their spiritual journey, no matter how awake they are, no matter what they're doing or what they're not doing. The only one we ever need to be concerned about is that one person who we have to face in the mirror every single day. And allowing ourselves to love that person more than we did a moment before. How do we be more love in the world? We love the one that reflects back at us in the mirror. All right, my sweet friends, it has been an honor and a pleasure to chat with you today. Again, you know, be kind, Be kind to yourself and others, and know that our little ego is a part of our spiritual journey. Bye for now.